Success is based on a comparison with others. Excellence is measured against your own potential. Brooke Cupps. My guest on this episode of Passing the Torch is Brooke Cupps. He is the head basketball coach at Centerville High School here in Dayton, Ohio. He also coached the elite level amateur athletic union team that featured both his son Gabe and the son of LeBron James, LeBron James Jr. In 2021, Coach Cupps led Centerville to its first ever state championship. Coach Cupps is focused on using coaching and teaching as a platform to help kids live intentionally. In his book, The Pursuit of Excellence, author Ryan Hawk described Coach as someone who embodies what it means to live true to your values and that he is more than a basketball coach. He instills in players the lessons of leadership and a thirst for excellence. In this episode of Brooke Cupps, we discuss the significance of the movie Patch Adams, the point of Foxhole Friends, accountability, and finally, if Brooke were to create a basketball team consisting of five friends, who would make the squad? Without further ado, Passing the Torch with Brooke Cupps starts now. First and foremost, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
How random was it when you just get an email or from me?
It was a little random, but that's all right. That's a lot of great things happen that way.
Yeah, just the background I found out about you is I recently read The Pursuit of Excellence by Ryan Hawk, and you're mentioned multiple times in that book. So then I started doing some research on you, but with that, please discuss the significance of the movie Patch Adams.
So Patch Adams is one of my favorite movies. It's we use it in our leadership class. So I teach two leadership classes at Centerville, and I was able to write the curriculum for them.
Yeah.
And kind of our capstone assignment or our end of the year assignment is to watch Patch Adams, because I feel like most people haven't seen it, for one. So kids haven't seen it. They're not familiar with it. It's pretty funny with Robin Williams, so that's entertaining. But the thing about Patch is that he lives true to his values, regardless of what society tells him he should be doing and how he should be living. And that's really the essence of what our Leadership 101 class is about, is trying to help kids, you know, have the self-awareness, establish a purpose, find the courage to live by the values that they feel are important, that they feel they were blessed with, and that they bring to the, that, you know, is unique to them, that they bring to the world.
You mentioned the word values a couple times, and I'm going to ask you a three-part question. One is, what are your values? But the other two parts, the second and third part to the question is, when I say the word foxhole, actually, when I say the word foxhole and the phrase chop chop, what are your values? And then what do the phrases foxhole and chop chop mean to you?
Yeah, those are all pretty central to our program at Centerville. So my values are the values of our basketball program. So tough, passionate, unified, and thankful. You know, we go a step further with those, and we define them by their behaviors. So we want people to know, like, okay, a lot of people, if you ask 20 people what tough is, you'll probably get 20 different answers. So in our program, tough is positive body language. So whatever you're going into, whether it's a job interview, a game, a workout, a practice, a day of school, a conversation with your parents, we want you to have positive body language. Passionate is choosing extra work. I feel like anything that people are, if you're passionate about something, you're willing to go above and beyond. Yeah. I think that's where all the separation lies, in the extra. And so that's kind of how we define passionate. And our guys are very good at that. And then unified for us is speaking and acting with urgency. So unified to me is more of a vocal communication, a willingness to speak up for things that matter to the team. And so if I think life is a team sport. So if I see somebody, whether it's a friend of mine or a player of mine, accepting a standard of below standard performance or behavior, and they just watch it, I think it's one of the most selfish things that can happen. So I try to impart in our guys that we want to uphold the standard. And a lot of that comes with just the willingness to call it out and address it. So speaking and acting with urgency. And then thankful is just about gratitude, showing your appreciation for where you are, the opportunities that you have, how lucky you are, just recognizing all the things you have to be grateful for. I think it's one of the most important things. I think it takes light to get away darkness, right?
That's great.
Clear darkness. So I think just focusing on that, solves a lot of problems. Foxhole is the term we use. We actually do an exercise in our program where we just talk about foxhole teammates. You know more about foxholes than I do, but we just have our guys actually, like on a piece of paper, they'll say, okay, you're in a foxhole. There's one guy behind you and one guy on each side of you. Who are they? Like, who do you want in your foxhole? You know, we do that as an exercise to kind of bring some awareness to guys, because some guys won't get mentioned. And I think it's a reflection on, like, you know, when you strip away, oh, the friends and your buddy, like, who can you really count on? That's a different conversation. And we want guys to think about how their actions impact other guys. And then personally, I have a group of friends that are my foxhole friends. Like, I always describe it to our kids in leadership class. Like, those are the people that you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Your car breaks down 3 hours away and they come get you.
Bring a shovel and a trash bag.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, they don't ask questions and they don't look for excuses. So, and I think as you get older, you realize how few of those people there really are. Yeah. There's not a lot of them, and there doesn't need to be. That's okay. And you have acquaintances, you have friends, but then you've got foxhole friends that are a different level of friendship. And, you know, we get into this thing with comparison and listening to everybody's opinion with social media and things like that. And I think one of the best ways to fight that is to focus on your foxhole. Like, if your foxhole tells you that you suck or you're doing something stupid, then you're doing something stupid. You need to listen. If they're outside your foxhole, probably just need to blow it off and ignore it. So it gives our guys kind of a filter for that. Chop chop to us is like, we go on a retreat every year at the beginning of basketball season and all of our guys chop down a tree. The conversation as we go out to chop down the tree is, how many swings do you think it's going to take you? All right. And they always guess ridiculously low because they've never chopped down a tree before.
Seven.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. And then, you know, there'll be 200 swings in and they'll stop counting. They're taking off their gloves and they're like, yeah, it's going to take a lot more. And so our message to them, I think one of the things kids nowadays need to understand is delayed gratification and how consistency wins out. Just keep chopping, just keep showing up, keep doing the work, and things usually will find a way to work out. And so that's the message with that. Like, you might hit that thing 300 times and you might not even be halfway through yet. Keep swinging like that. Like, that's it. And so, you know, we have a breakfast club at Centerville where we work out before school every day. And early in the year, I'll talk to the guys about, like, you know, a breakfast club today, you won't notice any difference. Probably this week, a breakfast club, you won't notice any difference. 3 years of breakfast club, you'll notice a difference. And so just trusting that process and continuing to swing. And we say it all the time. We just say, keep chopping. It's same for the duration of a game. Like, we try to pressure the basketball and get into just body blows, man. Just keep chopping, keep chopping. That's what we try to do.
Love it. Is it chop chops on your shirt, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I noticed that when you walked in. Yeah. The foxhole is great just because I've learned that the hard way, but I've been in the military for 21 years now. There are people that I've been friends with since I first joined. And we've made sure to stay in touch, and actually just flew out to Colorado Springs a few weeks ago to MC a retirement ceremony for two of my closest friends. And it's just that foxhole is, I think that's a lesson that it's a tough one to learn, but it's so important in life to realize who are those people, like you said, can call 3 in the morning. I like what you said about the just the body language. There are always those people that, whether it's sports and military or just, you know, any type of setting where they have that natural charisma and people always want to follow them. And typically, hopefully those people are most likely on sports, the leaders of the team, you know, they can do actions with, you know, how many points they score and their athletic gifts. But how important is it their body language and just kind of the nonverbal leadership skills that people want to follow?
I mean, I think it's critical. Like, you know, I always say your body language screams. All the time. Like, you can't hide it. It's a true look into what you really think, right? Because, like, you're going to let your guard down if you're faking it all the time. So yeah. you've got to get yourself to a place where it's not about you. Like, it's not about you. So the whole thing is, are there days that you're tired and you're sore? And yeah, like, but you have a responsibility. You're on a team. This isn't just about you. Like, you have a responsibility to other guys. So, and you shouldn't be putting a burden on them to have to elevate their energy to offset yours. So do your job, bring your energy, help other guys out, see who you can serve.
And your LinkedIn profile, you mentioned that, as I told you before the show, I did some research on you. In your LinkedIn profile, you mentioned that when not with family, you enjoy spending time alone thinking and wondering. So my question is, what are you thinking and wondering about? And how do you create the space to think strategically?
That's a good question. I don't know how you become self-aware with all the noise that's around all the time. If you don't spend any time in quiet just thinking, then your thoughts are just regurgitations of everybody else's thoughts. So how do you know what you really think? I think you have to spend that time.
Yeah.
It's just a priority for me. It's no different than if I'm coaching a basketball team and I want my basketball team to rebound, then I got to spend time working on rebounding. If I want to have authentic thoughts and be self-aware of, you know, what I believe and genuine and authentic to that, then I got to make the time to do that. So I do it early in the morning. That's my time. Kind of I get up at 4:45 and, you know, my time before everything gets rolling is where I try to lock a lot of that stuff in because it doesn't interfere with, you know, my family time and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I would say that's the biggest thing in terms of strategically thinking and being intentional about it. I mean, you know, I have a journal. So like my morning routine is very scripted, and it's the same every day. And when it's not the same, I don't feel right about it. Like, you know, like if we're at a hotel or something's off, then I gotta adjust. But like I get up, do a couple breaths, I pray, I work out, I meditate, I journal, and my journal has some prompts in it, which is kind of the strategic thinking mm-hmm. part. So like I make sure every day I reflect on my core values, like how did I do with those yesterday? And like, did anything stand out? I have a piece of my journal where I have kind of a mantra. It's a Bible verse that I just say to myself over and over. I just write it down every day.
Do you mind sharing that or is it too personal?
No, it's not. I laugh at fear, afraid of nothing. I will not shy away from the sword. I will not stand still when the trumpet sounds. So it's from the Bible. It's also from the last scene of Secretariat, which is like one of my favorite scenes in any movie. So for me, that just sets that mindset of like, I'm going to attack the day. Like, I'm not going to let stuff just happen to me. I kind of recite for each of my core values, I have mantras that go with them, which are kind of, for me, I think of those as like reset buttons. If I'm, you know, complaining about something or catch myself being negative, then I say to myself, fight ready. Come on, man, fight ready. That to me is positive body language. Like that's what toughness looks like. So fight ready. So I just write down, I am fight ready. I steal inches is my one for passion. I don't flinch is my one for being unified. And I show love is my one for thankful. So I write those down, have prayer lists. So who am I praying for? Or I'm sorry, thankful list. Somebody, a person that I'm thankful for, something from the previous day that I was thankful for doing, something I'm looking forward to that day. Then I have a list of prayer, like people or things that I'm praying for. And then I have anything that was like story worthy, like from the previous day. Like, I don't know, I feel like I'm all about experiences, not really things. So like, what did I do that was worth telling a story about? And so I write it down. I always think of those as like, 50 years from now, my kids find my journals. They can flip through there and see like what was cool that I did that day. A lot of it's about them, obviously, like stuff that's happening with us. But sometimes just take my dog for a walk and
yeah,
doing whatever. But so that's really the strategic part of what I try to go through in my quiet time.
That's, you talked about the journaling. That's why I have my journal and my notes. And even this podcast, I mentioned how long I've had the podcast for over 5 years now, close to six. And I started because I wanted to, I call this mentorship on demand. Mm. But more than that, as I keep doing it, I realized this is, and my daughter's been on my podcast. This is a legacy for my, a family legacy that I'm building, that even my great grandkids can go back and, you know, listen to all these different things.
Yeah, that's cool.
I asked you about thinking strategically because I love that question. I wanted to ask, it's based off of former Prime Minister Tony Blair, a video that he did, I think maybe in 2011 or 2012. He was speaking at some conference and he had talked about when he was Prime Minister of England or the UK, whatever, but that the best advice he'd ever received was from former President Clinton. He referenced like back in the 90s when England, I think the mad cow disease and some other national crises. And President Clinton had asked him like, hey, how are you taking time to think strategically? And he talked about how sometimes as leaders, we can get, you know, from meeting to meeting to meeting or task, yep. task. And it's like, okay, I need to break away for 30 minutes to think about that. So I think it's important for all leaders. You also mentioned about, you know, journaling and meditating. Have you seen that directly impact your success on the court?
Yeah, I mean, I think meditation is like the bench press of mindfulness. So, you know, mindfulness is, to me, is being able to think about what you want to think about, like at the time. And so we get distracted so much, whether it's coaching or playing or just living, that if we're not intentional about our thoughts and can't ignore that and pay attention to that, I think we're compromising how good we can be and you know, compromising our potential. And so we meditate with our team. In my leadership class, we meditate every day. And it's weird for some kids. It's an odd thing until you get used to it. And even for some people, it doesn't have to be, and everybody thinks it's got to be like, it doesn't really need to be that. Like, just, you need to quiet your mind, turn off your phone, and just be able to hear your thoughts and recognize your thoughts. That's what it needs to be. Sometimes a few breaths will work. Like, it doesn't, I think people get it kind of, you know, out of whack a little bit. It's not really that complicated, but if you don't want to call it meditation, that's fine, but you've got to find it. Go sit on a rock by the river and be quiet. Like, that's fine. But you have to allow things to be quiet for you at some point.
I always think when people ask me, because I'll teach, you know, I'll have lunches and I'll be asked to guest speak or something. And I get asked like, hey, what's something you wish you'd have done earlier in life? And I always tell people, I wish one, I would have stretched more.
Yeah.
Especially now at the age of 41.
Yeah.
But also just some form of meditation, and to me, journaling is a form of meditation, right, because it's, you know, that's so key. So in the last 5 years, what new belief or behavior or habit has most improved your life?
Oh, man.
Besides being on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
What? Say it again.
In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I would say just an intentionality about being present. I think, like, in the moment. I was not very good at that, you know, probably 5 years ago. I was always ready for the next thing. And a lot of times I missed out on, and I didn't appreciate what was actually happening at the time. I think I've done much better with that. You know, my son going through our program and recognizing, like, my daughter's graduating, my son's graduating, recognizing some of those things are coming to an end that are, you know, kind of, you know, milestones in your life. You start to slow down and be like, man, I better appreciate this. I better watch them get on the bus for the last time. I actually take that in. And that's been very satisfying. I wish I would have realized it earlier. I wouldn't say I was far off from it, and I would jump in and out at times, but just a conscious effort to consistently be present in the moment, I would say is a big one.
Yeah, my daughter, she's about to be 12, and I can't believe she's about to be 12 and starting middle school. My son is 5. He'll be starting kindergarten here in a couple weeks, and I can't believe that either. So it's something I've been making last school year with my daughter. I would, like, you know what, I'm going to take my daughter to the bus stop every day this week.
Yeah.
Or come home, like, leave work for an hour just so I can go pick her up, and just because it's happening so fast.
Yeah, those are the things that really matter when you step back.
Obviously, as a basketball coach and teacher for young people, you're in a position to inspire and mentor. And, you know, and I think back to my teachers. There's still teachers I remember. I graduated high school in the year 2000, but even before that, I remember teachers from grade school that I think, like, that person had a positive impact on me when I was in fifth grade, 11 years old. As a basketball coach and teacher for young people, what are your tips for setting into motion courses of action that allow people to unleash their best, most valuable performance while they have the opportunity?
So, I mean, I think that's what our leadership class is for. I think you have to help them find who they are. I think there's a lot of kids, a lot of people that are walking around as imitations of someone else. And don't really have any idea of what they believe, what their purpose in life is, what their values are. And so I think, my purpose is to inspire others to strive for excellence over success. And excellence for me, is living to your potential, becoming the best version of you that you can be. Now, for me personally, there's a faith aspect to that.
Yeah.
But for others, there's not, which is okay if that's their choice. But I think my role in this whole thing is helping them understand how they can be the best version of themselves and helping them figure out, what values were you made with? Like, what values do you find important? What do you aspire to? What do you want your purpose to be? Like, how do you want to impact the people in your life? I mean, the kids have never thought of those questions. Most adults have never thought of those questions. And we just kind of live life from here, run a rat race. And then you get to the end, you're like, man, probably should have thought about that. And so, my hope is to try to help them think about that. And I always tell people, you're going to realize it at some point. You're going to realize that you had a purpose and like the things that you brought were special and unique. I just hope it's before you're on your deathbed, because I think on your deathbed, I think that's one of the things you're like, damn, I wish I would have.
I forget the video. Maybe it's Les Brown. I think it was a big time video with 5 years ago, and he talked about the, and maybe I'm getting the person wrong, but the ghost of your potential, right? Mm-hmm. On your deathbed, all your wasted potential. And whenever I saw that just really hit home.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier, I just want to dig a little bit deeper on this, because you mentioned earlier about blocking out the noise. And even with your most recent answer, kids not really knowing who they are. What's your advice, or what's your advice for anyone in a leadership position or a coach on how to make someone feel significant, especially in a crowded world? Significant in the moment, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we have all these different things. We have all the technology. We have all these fancy and cool things that always comes back to relationships. Your impact always comes back to relationships, and relationships come back to time. You have to spend time with people. That's it. There's no shortcut. There's no fast way to do it, which is awesome and hard, but it's awesome because the people that are willing to do that are the ones that have the biggest impact.
Yeah.
And so, that's the cool thing about teaching. You hear people say, oh, teachers don't get paid enough. It's not the currency is not money in teaching. That's the difference. But the impact and the relationships that you get to have with kids as a coach or as a teacher, I mean, it's way better than getting paid a lot of money. It's way more fulfilling. The experience is everyone's unique. So that's all I would say. You got to take the time to get to know people. You've got to spend time with them. You got to develop relationships to make it. I think it's Daniel Coyle in The Culture Code has
one of my favorite books.
Awesome.
And I have notes in here.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's a book that I often recommend when people say a book. I give that book as a gift.
Yeah.
I love that book.
It's so good because it's actionable. It gives you things in there you can do. And, so he talks about belonging cues,
yeah,
which is really the essence of the question you're asking. How do you make people feel like they belong? Well, you make them feel special. You individualize it and you make sure they know that you guys have a future together. Right. And so that's how you make people feel special, which is just build a relationship. That's,
yeah, what it is. I got to show you this. This is my sacred book. I had Todd Henry on earlier. He wrote the book. He's written 7 books. But Die Empty was.
That's a good one. I've read that.
Yeah. There's actually Pursuit of Excellence from Ryan's book right here. You saw my different notes. Atomic Habits. But
yeah, Culture Code's a good one. We use it. I use a ton of stuff out of there.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, Culture Code. So every time I read a book, I'll take notes and just for reference and everything. But so many nuggets on that.
Yeah.
Switch gears, just on a much lighter note, ask some more fun questions.
Sounds good.
Yeah, there's just fun answers, but however you want to answer it. Are you ready? This is the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left.
I'm ready.
And no timeouts.
Game time,
baby. And this is actually, we're going to say this is the second half of the Elite Eight.
Okay.
Right? Final Four is on the line. And there's about a minute left.
I'm in.
What purchase of $100 or less has most improved your life?
Yeah, that's some Tim Ferriss stuff there, isn't it?
That's where I got the question from. Shout out to Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, I've read a bunch of those answers in his books. I mean, I don't really buy anything over $50. I don't really ever spend money.
So we'll say $50.
Yeah. Most impacted my life.
Just for reference, Todd Henry, when asked him this question, he said a Keurig.
I'll say my whistle.
Okay.
Because it's led me to, I mean, I just got a new whistle this year. And so for my first 23 years of coaching, I used the same whistle. And I've had a lot of great times, great memories.
Did you frame, it needs to be framed or boxed somehow and put on this.
It's actually hanging up by our state championship medal in my office.
So that's great.
I'm keeping it, yeah.
Another question I ask is, I typically ask historical figure, but for you, it's going to be a little bit different. We talked about basketball. Which past basketball player do you most identify with?
Ooh, one of my former players?
It could be former player. It could be a former NBA player. It could be college or whatever.
And that's a tough question. I'll also go with one of my former players, kid named Kevin Miners.
Okay.
Who played, and he was on an Elite Eight team.
For which school?
For Centerville.
I mean, for which, you said he was on an Elite Eight team.
Oh, for us in high school.
Oh, okay, for okay.
Centerville. We won our regional semifinal game against Lakota East, and then we lost in the regional finals.
Okay.
But his just toughness and tenaciousness and willingness to hold people accountable, which was something I was good at in high school. I was an okay player, but I wasn't great. But I was willing. I wanted to win. And that's kind of what drove Kev all
that's
the time.
Awesome. So, yeah. It's always great to have those players. Like, I remember back in the 90s, Duke had Wojtkowski or whatever, and he's always slapping the floor and stuff. And there's definitely, it's always fun to have players who are just tenacious and just so into it. I typically ask, here's another basketball themed question, so you can get that in your mindset. I typically ask, like, hey, if a movie were to be made about your life, who would star in the movie and play you and all that? If there were a starting five basketball team centered from your, if you had to build a starting five, we'll use the basketball tournament because that's going on in Dayton right now. So, okay. Like, you and your friends want to, you know, win $1 million.
Right.
And let's just say, like, hey, you guys are a lot of entrants. Who would be, name some friends that would be on your squad of five?
Oh, man. Like,
so
actually have to try to win basketball games, or they're just
if not, it's just a good story.
Yeah.
And I'll give you two bonuses, right? So I need five friends, right? So you're going to have a 7-man squad.
Okay.
So because you and I want five other people. And then there's going to become a point like, hey, guys, we actually need to score some points. So I'll allow you to have Steph Curry because, you know, like, hey, Steph, we need you to go score 45 points in about 2 minutes for us, please. Who are five friends that you'd have on that squad?
I mean,
And what would the team name be?
Man, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'll just go with like some of my foxhole guys. So I'll go with Eli Liker, who's one of my assistant coaches. I'll go with Garen Stokes, who's a friend that's a football coach in Columbus. He's terrible at basketball, though. I'll go with...
Is he big? He could be the... No.
He's strong, but he's not big.
He could be the rebounder. He'll play the four or the five.
I'll go with Brian Steffi. And I guess I'll go with Chris McGuire. Is that enough? I get one more. I can get one more.
You can do it.
Yeah. Steve Seti would be. So Seti and McGuire would be our bigs. They're both about 6'5", 6'7".
Maybe Garen Stokes could be, like back in the 80s and 90s, teams always had that muscle, the guy that your bruiser.
Like a meathead?
A meathead,
that's
yeah.
That's perfect. That's
I remember right, I was stationed in California between 2008 and 2011. So I used to go to Laker games all the time.
Yeah.
And I think PJ... were Pingo or Bango or something, like he was literally like their 12th man, you know, but it was just, he would go out there and just muscle people and you know, get your quit. Like he was the Joe Klein of that era. Right. Or Bill Lane Beard, just say, go shoulder check somebody. And, you know, I need you to go crash some boards and break some skulls, but that could be Garen Stokes. Yeah. Two last questions. If you could put a billboard anywhere and write anything on it. So we'll say the 675, since we're here in Dayton, where would it be and what would it say?
It would say action expresses priority.
Okay.
So it's a little Gandhi quote. I just think, you know, like the value stuff is great, but it means nothing if you don't have the actions that go with it. And I think there's a ton of businesses, people that say they know what they believe, but they don't tie it to a behavior that allows them to live it intentionally in their life. And so, and you can talk about a lot of stuff, but it's what you do. Like, what are you going to do? And so, I think that to me is a really big deal.
One last question. What does the hero of your story want?
That's a good question. Where'd you get that question?
I thought of it. What is today? Tuesday. I thought of it Sunday night. So I showed you. So I'm going to a conference in Dallas next week. I have not coordinated any interviews, but there's 10 people I want to interview. So should the opportunity arise, I have my, and I'm going to study the notes ahead of time.
Yeah.
So even, you know, I already have the questions kind of, again, just how they go,
right.
But I have backgrounds for all these different people. And I was typing up notes for your interview it was Sunday night because I was typing up stuff. And my wife is always my QC. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? And she actually loved the significance of Patch Adams because she's like, that's so random.
Yeah,
but anyway, I started thinking about, I'm such a huge consumer of podcasts that I listen, I mentioned Ryan Hawks. There's so many different podcasts. I listen to a lot of Tim Ferriss. I listen to, my gosh, there's so many. I mean, I wouldn't even know where, there's probably about 8 or 9 different podcasts that I rotate through.
Yeah.
And I read a lot of books, but it's just, I don't know. I don't know how I came up with that question. I just think, and this is a new question. So I always ask the billboard question. I've asked that on every single podcast. Hey, you know, where would you want your billboard to say? What do you want your message to say? And I just, you're the first person I've asked this question to. And I think it's going to be something I throw in the end, but how I came up with it, I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would go to my purpose. So the hero in my story inspires others to strive for excellence over success. And they're surrounded by those people. Like they've helped people get there. And then they're surrounded by those people that are aspiring for excellence.
Man, that's great. There's one thing. I have a gift for you that I want to give you. The military. I love the military because it's full of traditions. And one of my favorite traditions is when someone has, or the course of years, built a resume of just excellence and done a lot of amazing things. And so we have this thing called coining, like you give someone a challenge coin. And I have a personal coin that I want to give you just for your this. And the coining supposedly dates back to like ancient Rome, to the Roman military. But it's a big tradition in the military, regardless of the service. When you give someone a coin, it's because they're doing excellent work and it's just a show of appreciation. But I have my own personal coin. I'll give it the camera. MF may or may not stand for Martin Foster. I don't know. I'll let you, but just for your excellence, like this is my personal coin. Whether I know we just met, but you're inspiring so many kids and just people. Just thank you for what you do and just for giving back and for being a servant leader and just a humble person and a great basketball coach. So
I appreciate that's my coin. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Any parting shots or parting thoughts?
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for reaching out and connecting and having me on. It's an honor.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow. That concludes another episode of Passing the Torch. Big thanks to my guest, Brooke Cups. It goes to show that mentors and leaders are from all different industries of life. If you want to check out his book, Surrender the Outcome, The Path to an Impactful Life of Coaching, Leading, and Living, I will have the link in my show notes of this episode. If this is your first time listening to my show, here's the quick bio about me. I am active duty military and have served for close to 21 years. I started this podcast in January of 2018 because I've met so many wonderful people in my life. I love having conversations, meeting new people, learning their history, and sharing their story. If you want to support and you enjoy the podcast, the best way to support is to like and share this podcast on Facebook. The other way to best support is by liking and watching the video on YouTube. These two small actions will have an astronomical impact for Passing the Torch. If you found value in the episode, took something away from the conversation, and appreciated the insight, chances are there is someone out there who may as well. So I appreciate it when you share. You can text the episode to a friend and tag me at Torch Martin on social media. Let me know what you were able to take away. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. And finally, remember, vision, relate, develop, take care, everyone. Foster out.